Hier ist Xiaolong Hu, Ihr China-Team. Sie können heute im Nachhinein die Panel-Diskussion Ihnen anhören, welche am 7. September in Taizhang stattgefunden hat. Die Veranstaltung heißt IK Production, IT und OT, Backbone of Smart Manufacturing. Wir hatten in Taizhang um die 70 Gäste und online auch nochmal weitere 50. Falls Sie dieses Event verpasst haben, freue ich mich, Ihnen diese Gelegenheit anzubieten. Und wenn Sie noch weitere Fragen haben, kommen Sie gerne direkt auf uns zu. Willkommen zu China Hotpot, Podcast für deutsche kleine und mittelständige Unternehmen für den Erfolg im chinesischen Markt. Mein Name ist Xiaolong Hu, Ihr Gastgeber.
So, ladies and gentlemen, now coming to a very exciting section, today's panel discussion. For further and a deeper understanding of the e-car production supply chain in China, we're thrilled to have this panel. So this section is going to be moderated by Mr. Xiaolong Hu, managing partner of today's event host, China Team. So I would like now to hand over to Mr. Hu to start the panel discussion with our experts.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone, or almost good evening, everyone. My name is Xiaolong Hu and founder of China Team. I'm very happy that you are here today and thank you for staying with us for so long time. I know it has been a long time now. It's nearly 18 o'clock. And as said, thank you also to our organization team and a special thank to Angela that we more or less due to so many difficulties and we're still on track on in the timeline. It's a very excellent job of moderators. And as said, I'm today your moderator for a panel discussion. And so panel discussion, it will be not done only by me. We have three on-site experts with me and one online expert, which is Florian Weihart. And may I ask Rainer and Harald and Paul come to the stage, stay with me, and Paul maybe take a place next to the table, next to the pult, and Harald, you can take the next chair, and Rainer, you stay with me, my honor. Then we will give you also one microphone for Paul and Harald, and maybe one microphone for Rainer, because I'm a moderator, I need more or less all the time the microphone. All right. Okay. Let me have a check. Florian, can you hear us?
I can hear you very well, Xiaolong. Yeah.
Oh, all right. I cannot see you very good, but I know you are with us. And the first question goes to you directly, Florian. 2022, one of the top news going through around the world is we have 3 months lockdown due to COVID in Shanghai. And because of that, in China, we have a GDP development in this year, in the first half year, only between 2 or 3%. And in the meanwhile, very surprisingly, and the direct investment from Germany in the first half of this year in China is on a record we never have. And how can you explain the high interest of German companies in the Chinese market, and maybe it's also interesting to Taizhang to understand, and what opportunity arise for you in the smart manufacturing area, Gloria?
Yeah, I think I'm not so much surprised actually about this because my perspective is coming from a machine builder perspective, which means from an investment good perspective. And our industry is not only, but mainly also automotive industry. And after COVID and with all these disruptions in the supply chain, I think companies realized that on the one hand side, China is a super important market for the growth, for the companies. It's growing, so you need to be here. But at the same time, you also need to localize whatever you need to be successful in China. I think Rula Mats is a very good example. we are 100% localized here. We have no connection to outside. Whatever we need, we do it here. And this makes us very competitive. And we're growing really exponential with that. I think most companies realize that. And what is happening then, basically investing in the local companies to become self-sufficient, running their own operations. I think this is one of my explanations, especially in the field of automation. And with that, the investment, I think, is rising. The question would be, is it a peak right now? Because for sure, after COVID, there is a lot coming. I would say yes. Right now, we see a lot of growth. It will also slow down a bit. But overall, I think there's no doubt for companies. You need to be here and you need to invest to be successful here.
Thank you very much for your information sharing. This comes with my experience as well. Among my customers, I've heard also about you have to today invest into China market, but also into the European market to ensure that the double circulation can be working in the future. Maybe this explains why we have so much investment here in China today. But if we talk about China business and successful China business in the past and today, and not only Rural Mart is a good example, I think we cannot forget Volkswagen. Yeah. And Shanghai Volkswagen as one of the most important investment of Volkswagen AG in China. I think now today Shanghai Volkswagen technically is more or less on the same eye level with Volkswagen AG more or less. And in this case, I would like to ask Harald, you as the CIO of Shanghai Volkswagen today, and how does Shanghai Volkswagen cooperate together with Volkswagen AG in the e-car production projects?
In general, Volkswagen is bringing over the technology from Germany and the basic technology. I mean, you all know that we are building platform-based and module-based our cars that was invented by Volkswagen in the past. And these platforms are getting carried over to China and then localized over here, is what you just talked about. That means this localization is an also an add-on development and also a quality insurance perspective. That means Volkswagen is carrying over its platforms, the MQB platform, the MEB platform, the electric platform. And then we are starting localizing, finding local partners that can create and develop and produce the same kind of quality. I mean, in the ID cars, in the electric cars, that's not fully the case because there are still some topics that we will not localize that are binded to Volkswagen AG, because when you only think about the software part, that's developed by CARIAD. Everybody knows the story. I mean, there's a lot of press releases in the past months, and this part will be at some point not localized. There will be a local entity of CARIAD, and then it has to be worked out what will develop, will be developed in CARIAD locally. But as a new strategy, as far as I understood, is that Volkswagen has to be or will be adapted to the Chinese customers in a different way. That means there will be specific products and also specific technology adapted to the Chinese market, also from Chinese providers. That's what I know. I mean, I'm currently an SVW employee, and therefore I have no Volkswagen AG contract, and I can also get some of this information out of press releases.
Thank you, Harald. I mean, the more important the Chinese market is, maybe the closer you have to work with the headquarters to ensure that the adoption can be successfully executed. And meanwhile, you have to introduce the latest technology. So a very close cooperation with each other. And with my next question, before I raise the next question, may I also motivate our participants here in the room but also online. If you have any questions, please type in our chat room or raise your hand. We will go around and give you our microphone. And my next question goes to our last guest. We not introduced to you by now, but I would like to do so. And Rainer Burkhardt is one of the famous lawyer in China for business between China and Germany. And he's not only well known as the Sean Connery around the German lawyers, but meanwhile, He is also pioneer and experts of data security laws in China. And I'm very happy, Rainer, you are with us today. And we've heard a global cooperating production network means it is required to closely work together, headquarters and Chinese subsidiaries, and maybe also with other locations as well. So we can ensure, we can be sure that a lot of data are moving around the world. And so what do you think German companies need to pay attention to and in respect of the latest Chinese data security law we have in the recent years?
Yeah, thank you, Xiaolong, for giving me this difficult question. Having 5 minutes and having the CEO, CIO sitting next to me from Volkswagen. So I try to simplify it. You know, the beauty lies in the simplification. I call it the two rules and the two exceptions. So what are the rules? The rules is, in principle, all data needs to be saved and processed in China. Rule number one. Exception is if business requires. Unfortunately, there is no definition what preconditions fulfill if business requires. Then it is legally feasible to transfer data cross-border, for example, to Germany, to the headquarter. And then we have the second rule. The rule is this is true for all data except personal information. So let's go to the rule number two. This is true for all data. You can transfer data cross-border provided you do a self-assessment. And luckily, our conference today is very much in time for a new measure and directive, which actually have been released on September 1st, last Thursday. So very good timing, because these new measures actually describe how to do the self-assessment. And you will be pleased or not so pleased to learn that actually there is also a timing required now for the self-assessment. In general, a self-assessment can be divided into three phases. There is a self-assessment, then you have the pre-assessment from the authorities, the CAC, and then you have the final assessment, the final security assessment from the CAC. What is important to know, this security assessment for cross-border data transfer will take you approximately 2 months. According to the law, it's exactly 57 working days. The next one you need to know is the assessment. The validity of the assessment is 2 years. After the 2 years, you have a period, 60 days for reapplying. But now what is all important is that for all the cross-border data transfer, which have been conducted by your company before September 1st, before our new rules came into effect, you have, as of last Thursday, 6 months to go through this security assessment for all previous cross-border data transfers. So I think this is one something you should note down. The rules for this security assessments, as I said, are rather new, September 1st, last Thursday. So probably you will need to get in contact with your competent authorities and require a little bit more information. Maybe there will be, as usual, also exemptions in order to implement this strict rule, but this is what the measurement says. So the rule is all the data has to be saved and processed in China. The first exemption is you can transfer it cross-border if there is a business need and if you conduct this security assessment, as I just described in the three steps. The second exemption is this is not true for personal information. Because for personal information, in addition to the security assessment, which I just described, you have two other possibilities. There is a certification which you can apply for. Again, we have since June, I believe, we have implementation rules for this kind of certification. The certification is unfortunately limited to dealing with affiliated companies and overseas data processors, where you in both cases require a so-called data processing agreement. And this is also the second possibility beside the security assessment, beside the self-certification. You can also enter into a contract. Lawyers love to hear that. The problem is, or the challenge is, let me put it positive, the challenge is for this data processing agreement that China has a template which you are required to use in the future. The template, again, is very, it's brand new. The problem is that Europe, with the GDPR, also has a template for data processing agreements. And to be honest, we do not know yet what happens if you have a data processing agreement offered by your parent company under the German or the European GDPR, which is at least partly in conflict with the template issued by the Chinese government, which has to be accepted by the Chinese subsidiary. Yeah. So there are still open questions. Time will show how to solve it. But this is, in a nutshell, what you need to know for cross-border data transfer.
Thank you, Rainer. I don't know, how do you feel? I feel it's very complicated, and it is urgent to solve it, and it has some importance. I think this is a good picture of the China business for German SMEs. As you know, we target our customers here at SMEs, and as always in China, everything is possible, but nothing is easy. As also in this area of smart production. And not only we have a lot of opportunities, but also we have something like data security. We need strong support from partners to solve it. And one of the area which is also important and we need also to solve it is your manufacturing procedure and how to organize your organization, how to make sure that your production can be organized according to your plan and according to the orders from the customers. In this case, you need somehow a manufacturing execution system. And here we have the next question goes to Paul. And as I see, we have one field, on-field, in-field question. May I ask Paul this question? And I will go back to Francis the next time. And Paul, I mean, you've heard about a lot of interest in the Chinese market, the highest investment, and we have Florian who reported of the extremely growth of the business, and also Volkswagen reported new projects, Kerry and others as well. It comes with maybe also other investment in the second tier, and first tier suppliers, and there's a perfect precondition for you in this field to make a China business. But who exactly here is your customer? Are those headquarters your customers and set up the requirements, technical requirements, or more or less the local organization, the subsidiaries set up the requirements today?
Thank you, Xiaolong. Thank you for your question. I believe it is really depends. I believe most of the German company, normally if they don't have so powerful localization strategy, normally this kind of requirement or IT structure design will normally done by the headquarters, honestly. But I have seen that we also have a lot of very good localized German companies. They have even bigger business scope than in Germany, like Florian. I believe most of the requirements are defined by them local. Yeah. So this is depends. I believe the better they localized, they have bigger power in China. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for your answer. And I will come back to you again with the second question, but we have one question in the field. Yeah, Francis, please.
Okay. Thank you. I'm Francis. Harald, I have a question to you. Because the new energy market has changed so much in the automotive field, And in the past, we always get German technologies developed in Germany and then rolled out in China, right? But now we have the pressure from the Chinese OEMs, right, to go into the market. And Volkswagen is trying to push in the Chinese, the German brands, the German ID series in China. So how do you act in building the infrastructure, the IT, OT infrastructure in China so quickly that you can react to the growing demand in China that is very unique in China compared to other parts of the world? So how does it impact your job to make sure the shop floor works the way it should work in order to fulfill the demand of the market?
That's the question is really tricky because it's not only because of IT and OT. I mean, OT is a simple way there because a production is production, and you can adapt the production processes in a simple way because the machines that you're using in the plants, it doesn't matter where in the world, are normally the same for building a car or a car type. The challenge is more in the core IT or in the back ends for the car to communicate with. And that's more challenging because we heard some data has to be localized. Therefore, some of the things has to be built in the countries, and China is not unique. There are also other countries that are demanding similar regulations, and that will be a challenge in general, not only for Volkswagen, for every car manufacturer, OEM, depending on where you're doing business in the world, to adapt to the specific regulations. In the past, it was only crash simulations that you're applying for NCAP or other crash regulations that you're getting certified in a specific way for car type approval. But now it's getting deeper and deeper also in the software to ensure whatever is happening, and specifically when you go to autonomous driving later on, that things are somehow approved under the regulations that every country is somehow releasing. And that will be the challenge, not so much in car production. That I see personally as a more easy part compared on the car engineering development, research and development, and also then the 15 years of operation of a car, the life cycle management. That will be much more the challenge. Only think about when your car has an accident. How can you prove as an OEM that the software that this car is using is a certified software? You remember the ship tuning discussions from the past, that somebody somewhere developed a ship that you can buy on the free market and put in your car? Only think about these things will happen in the future in an autonomous driving scenario. How an OEM can protect against such scenarios? That will be the more interesting discussions that we will face. I'm sure it's getting easier because you're getting away from these separate control units in the cars. You're more on a centralized compute level. Therefore, you can control things in a different way, much more easy. But it's also then a different level of complexity. And since I'm not a car developer, I cannot go into that. Therefore, I can only answer your question on a more higher level and to give you some perceptions and ideas. What will be the future challenges? And these are only one or two that I named. There are many, many more.
Thank you, Harald. We have another question goes to you from the online participants. This question comes from Alexandra and addressed to Harald again. Hello, Alexandra. So Alexandra's question goes into the direction, what are the localized innovation or local technologies which Shanghai Volkswagen or other Volkswagen organization in China developed and which can be transferred to the European market? Do you have one maybe example of those technologies?
I'm sorry that I can have no idea about what I can talk about in this case. Thank you for the question, but I personally cannot answer that.
Thank you for your answer. And it always said that no answer without my lawyer. Even with today a lawyer, we cannot answer this question. In today's conference, maybe Alexander, you can get into contact with Harald later on, and in the conversation afterwards, you may have a better answer with this question. Okay, and
Paul, as mentioned, I have the second question to you. Maybe you can disclose a little bit the need of or the demand on manufacturing execution systems in the e-car production industry, especially the suppliers, the first tier, second tier suppliers. I think there's for sure, like Volkswagen, we have a very powerful IT structure and we have a very competent IT management, and maybe there's no need to introduce something new in the Chinese market. But for the suppliers and second tier and third tier suppliers, there's a still high need on introduction of MES systems to better organize the production. And can you disclose a little bit in which segments of the parts, or the suppliers, industries, are the demand very high and why?
Okay, I believe I can say almost all of the segments have this kind of requirement. Yeah, because the e-car production is not like the traditional machine builder or some process. Like in this year, I have three projects from the e-car tier one supplier. They are doing maybe some car body or the shark fin I just introduced. I believe most of them, they have a higher requirement of the data integration with the other systems to integrate with their production lines and record almost all of the inspection data and combine with the ID of the component. This is the very high requirement on the one piece flow. Yeah, so I believe I can say almost all the segments have very higher requirement on it, but some our customer, they just have very powerful internal IT team. So they already solve this by themselves, but some of them maybe were looking good suppliers outside. So I believe this is my opinion. Thank you.
You are a lucky man. Everyone needs your software. It's good news. All right. And I have a prepared question for Harald here. So again, you are a very highly demanded man here today. And Harald, you have been working in China now with Shanghai Volkswagen in your role for many years. And MES system is a part of the smart factory or smart production technology. And all those innovative projects which are executed, no matter it's in Germany and in China, we will be facing a lot of challenges. Like sometimes today, we have also technology challenges. And can you explain what are the differences of those projects, IT projects or smart factory projects, which is implemented in Germany and which is implemented in China, in terms of the definition of the requirements, in terms also of the project management and the implementation?
I mean, I in my presentation, I talked about the industrial cloud approach from the Volkswagen Group. And since this industrial cloud approach is guided or is in a partnership agreement with AWS, I mean, partnership agreement means AWS wants to create a product based on that. And Volkswagen and Siemens are helping to make this whole work, that everybody is getting a good output out of this overall agreement that these companies cut together. Therefore, AWS, most of you hopefully know, has a specific way in product management, project management. And that's also what's getting now adapted from the other partners in this whole industrial cloud agreement. And that is then also helping driving things forward. I mean, that's then also the major difference, because we are based on ALI, we are based on MindSphere in SAIC Volkswagen. Therefore, we are not following the same approach, because it's not so easy to just read about how AWS is doing it and then doing it. It's like an agile approach. You need somehow a guidance, a framework, and you need learning and teaching to make this things happen. Therefore, we and SVW are more following a structured agile approach or a waterfall approach to run the project with requirements engineering and then normal project management, compared how AWS is now partly teaching the OT environment or OT participants in the project of the industrial cloud. That's one of the major differentiators. Since we're using a different technology, I mean, we're using Ali and MindSphere. I mean, MindSphere is part of the environment, as I explained, from the Volkswagen Group industrial cloud environment. But still, we cannot easily take a module that's got developed in Volkswagen, the Volkswagen Group, and take it over and implement it here, because different footprints, based different basic technology. Therefore, we can get an idea and then adapt the idea and implement that then also in our landscape. That's doable. And if we can motivate, for example, the other GVs in China to use the same technologies that we are using, then we can share in this environment because the basic infrastructure is again the same. But that's not finally decided because JVs are independent. That means our FAW, BW joint venture, there's a possibility that they are choosing the same MindSphere technology that we choose, then there's a good capability to exchange something. With Anhui, since the majority GV from Volkswagen, I don't know. I think they will go more the industrial cloud way, but that's not decided because they have their own decision trees and decision parameters. We are partially independent, therefore we could make this decision adapted to the Chinese market. And I think the North will come up with the same approach or with a different vendor. I cannot tell you because they have not finally decided. They're in the POC process. And then let's see if they're going the same way like we are, then we can share. And sharing also means buying and selling. We are independent companies, and the independent companies has to sell things to the other company, like we have to buy things from Volkswagen, or when we want to share something with Volkswagen, they have to buy from us. You cannot just give it over and then it's for free. Then you have compliance issues, and that's not a good situation nowadays to be into.
Sure. Thank you for your insights. I think I can realize, sense the difficulties in doing some such decisions in within the Volkswagen organization in China due to many joint venture organization structures, and so nothing is very easy. My compliment to your job, and may I turn to you, Rainer, into is my next question. Maybe you noticed that I haven't 100% understood what you have explained to me in my last question, and maybe I'm the only one. And
I hope so.
Okay, maybe you can help me just for me. And we have been talking about a lot contents about smart factory and smart production. For sure, we are talking about data. What kind of data are relevant in terms of data securities law? Can you take some examples so that at least me can understand the requirements better?
I will try hard. So actually, you should take care about all the data your company is processing as a general rule. But for sure, today we are talking about industry. So, and we talk about automotive. Let's see what kind of definitions we have in the law. So first of all, the law talk about general data. Unfortunately, as we learned before, for business needs, also the term general data is not defined. So if we look at the other data classifications, which include important data, which includes core data, which includes industry data, which includes, as I already mentioned, personal data, general data, you may define in a negative way, everything which is not covered by the other data is general data. And for this general data, there is a lower threshold with regard to the so-called TOMS, the technical and organizational measures. Every other data categories, as I just mentioned, there are special requirements. Let's start with the important data. There is a definition, but the problem is the definition is, let's say, very general and abstract. Important data is, for example, defined as relevant for national security or public interest. So the question is, which data is relevant for national security and public interest? Luckily, or depending on which side you are, not so luckily, the lawmaker has defined further important data. And I think what is important for us here today is that most of the automotive data, including the data which is generated by the car, in the car, is actually classified under measures as important data. With the result, as I already mentioned in the first reply, that you have to go to this security assessment. Core data, I don't want to go into the details. Industry data. Here we have the same. Industry data is defined as data which is generated in the process of manufacturing. Very general definition. However, again, here we have special measures, and these special measures require the self-assessment, which I just explained, to be executed for industry data. The next one I already mentioned, personal data. Personal data, we need to differentiate between, let's call it normal personal data and sensitive personal data. Personal data is everything, or data allowing to, which identifies a human being or allows you to identify a human being. And like your name, your telephone number, you can be identified by this kind of personal information. Then there is sensitive personal information, which includes your fingerprint, your iris, which means your health information, also financial information. And for the sensitive personal data, you have to fulfill additional requirements. For the normal, for the general personal information or personal data, you have to fulfill the TOMS, as I already mentioned, the technical organizational measures. You have to have a fallback plan for your IT system. You have to have IT measures. You have to have an internal management for the data management, et cetera, et cetera. And for this kind of sensitive personal information or personal data, you actually have to receive the consent from your customer, from the subject who owns the data. This is the reason why, Harald, in order to identify the driver needs to click on this button to consent, because the car is collecting sensitive personal data or personal information. Yeah. So this is actually the different categories, but most of the categories, as I explained before, are leading to the legal requirement of having this security assessment, depending or with some additional requirements, for example, for sensitive personal data.
Okay, thank you, Rainer. I think I understood it better, but I think it's much space and room for interpretation. And I think it's good that you share your personal data with your LinkedIn QR code so that we can be connected with you then afterwards. At least I have no clue how to solve the difficulties if I have some data security topics. And now it's my turn to excuse for the extension of today's event. I promise there's only one question here still. Oh, and then, Angela, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's only your question is allowed.
Thank you. This is a general question to Mr. Rainer. I do export sales, which involves a lot of different countries. And as you know, customers are usually in the dominating position. So whenever I have to sign a contract, some hairs are gone. And usually they're really dominating with the clause, especially when this clause where they, if there's any dispute happens, which country should be, this should be resolved. Of course, Russia customers ask this to be resolved in Russia. American customer asked this to be resolved in American, but we would like this to be resolved in China. So from your expert point of view, how would you solve, I mean, get this agreed with the customer that you don't have a really not good position as the supplier? Thank you.
How many hours do I have?
As this is a not paid consulting hours, I think you will not spend so much time.
The lawyer's answers, as always, start with, It depends. It depends a little bit on what you want to achieve, to make it short. My recommendation to you is look into the bilateral or multilateral agreements between China and the country where your customer sits, and check whether the court and the court judgments in the other countries can be enforced in China. If it can't be enforced, I would say it's a good deal for you, because then even if there is a breach of contract and your customer is suing you, which will never happen, I know, but just in case, they will not be able to enforce the judgment against you here in the People's Republic of China. So having your own home jurisdiction, this is actually how you can summarize it, having your own home jurisdiction in your contract is not always to your advantage. That's why it depends.
Thank you, Mr. Ryan. This was very helpful. I feel more protected now.
Most welcome.
Yeah, more safe.
I learned a lot from you, Rainer. It depends. It's a good answer. All right. I have a last question, as I mentioned. Again, Angela, I cannot do so great job as a moderator like you. I cannot control the time like you. So good. And my last question goes to Florian, because I have one aspect I need to touch upon, which I cannot forget, is we have been talking about China as the market for smart production solutions, smart technologies. And for example, Volkswagen introduced some concept and it need to be adapted in the Chinese market. We heard up from Paul, manufacturing execution systems, partly requirements are already defined in the Chinese subsidiaries, in the suppliers of e-car productions, of e-car business. But China now today is also a field of innovation. And we heard from Florian, from those ideas which created in China and maybe also somehow re-imported to Germany. And Florian, what are the difficulties when you try to export some innovations in the Chinese market back to your, let's say, home country or home market, the European market?
Yeah, I think that are similar challenges just the way around. So I think, first of all, we from Rula Mart, we have been in the past quite attractive also as supplier outside of China, because I think this combination really German engineering with Chinese speed and agility is really attractive in the world. So we always had a very good export ratio, and it was always quite easy actually to act out of China and grow our export ratio. However, this is since COVID, for sure, this is more challenging, because traveling is not that easy anymore. And also, overall, there is a bit more consciousness to have a local supplier. So the same challenges, which is for German companies in China, we have the way around right now. So that definitely leads in the direction that we are doing more outside China. So we have recently also started a location in Czech Republic, for example, where we can serve the European market so that we are a little bit more present locally also. We also have a factory in India where we can do the Indian market. And overall, also, for example, from our software side, we started to cooperate in Germany so that we can localize more know-how there as well. So that we are basically doing the same thing like coming to China decades ago, now the way around. So from this perspective, it's pretty similar, yeah. I hope that after all these COVID restrictions, we can also start growing again, actually, our export out of China. Because, as I said, I think this is a super competitive package and was always very well recognized by our customers. We have projects in Italy, in Mexico, in US, in Korea, Eastern Europe, so all over the world, out of China. And I think this is a very, very good mode also for the future.
Thank you, Florian, for your answer and motivating words. And I think we believe everyone here has been gone through a very difficult time in 2022. We have a 3 months lockdown, and maybe some of you has the question, does it still important to maintain a very close cooperation between Germany and China? After today, I think the answer is very clear. The interest to invest in China is very high. And at the same time, we still have examples like Uruguay Mart, export to Europe is also very high, and Uruguay Mart established also their own organization in Europe as one example. And talking about business opportunities, and we just take today the example as in the industry, smart manufacturing. And here we have a lot of solution providers and customers of smart manufacturing here in the room, but also online. And we can be sure that this demand is raising. See RULAMA, see MES system like industry informatic and other providers as well. And at the same time, China is not only a market that you can introduce your existing products, existing solutions to the Chinese market and adapt on it. And we also became a location in China as an export location for technologies. So this is our core message today, and the e-production in China from a leading market to a leading supplier market. From my side, thank you very much for staying with us so long, even for the extra 15 minutes. And you are the real fighters of smart manufacturing. And a special thanks to our guests and to our experts and online experts, but also experts here with me in the room. And thank you.
Das war unsere heutige Episode. Ich bin Xiaolong Hu, Ihr China-Coach für Ihren Geschäftserfolg. Wenn Sie als deutscher KMU noch mehr über China wissen möchten, empfehle ich Ihnen unsere kostenlose englischsprachige Webinar-Serie China Webinar zu besuchen. Oder schreiben Sie gerne eine Mail an mich persönlich unter der Webseite china-team.de. Mit über 100 China-Experten können wir Ihnen gerne weiterhelfen. Bis nächstes Mal und 再见!